You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
Do not be afraid. God is with us. This is our theme going through the whole Easter season. We heard the message on Easter Sunday from Matthew chapter 28 when the angel told the women and the guards at the tomb, do not be afraid. And then later the resurrected Christ made the promise to the disciples, I am with you always. So over these 7 weeks of Easter, we've been reiterating that message, do not be afraid, God is with us. As we wrap up the series today, I thought it would be good to review, kind of like students review at the end of a semester, just to take a look at what we've learned and to remember what we've learned. The theme runs throughout the scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 43, God offers comfort to the exiles, saying, do not fear. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Just before battle, God's word comes to Joshua, saying, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Apostle Paul wrote from jail, rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. In Matthew's gospel, we read about Jesus walking on the water, and the disciples were terrified. But Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And perhaps the best-loved reading in the Bible is Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd Psalm. At the core of that psalm is the affirmation we proclaim, even though I walk through the darkest valley, or even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. So there's a lot of biblical affirmation for this message. Do not be afraid. God is with us. And it's important to remember that God is not saying there's nothing to be afraid of. The Bible makes it clear that there's plenty that we could be afraid of, and our life makes it clear that there's plenty that we could be afraid of. There's lots of danger and toil all around us, and God is promising to be with us in the midst of that danger and toil, to give us courage, to give us focus, to give us strength, to give us hope. So today our reading comes from Psalm 46, and it begins with this affirmation, the Lord is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Later in verses 7 and 11, there's sort of a refrain that echoes the same message. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So that word refuge shows up several times in the psalm, at least with the New Revised Standard Version. But the Hebrew word translated as refuge in the NRSV is actually a different word in verse 1 and verse 7 and 11. In other translations, like the NIV, verse 7 and 11 says God is our fortress instead of our refuge. So God is our refuge, God is our fortress. It's the same idea, just expressed in different ways. And that image of fortress is the inspiration that Martin Luther used to write the well-loved and well-appreciated hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. We sing that hymn pretty much every year on Reformation Sunday, on the last Sunday of October, when we celebrate our Reformed heritage. And we sing out that powerful chorus, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper God amidst the flood of mortal ills prevailing. We celebrate. This week I was biking around downtown and I passed the Lutheran Student Center, and sure enough, prominently inscribed on their building are the words, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Listen now for the psalm that inspired that famous hymn, the psalm that proclaims the good news for us.
Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear,
though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar, the kingdoms totter. God utters God's voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations God has brought on the earth. God makes wars cease to the end of the earth. God breaks the bow and shatters the spear. God burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I grew up with two older brothers, and in the backyard of our house, we had a fort where we played quite often, and usually with some variation of the good guys versus the bad guys. And the fort was quite often, as I recall, the home of the good guys. And the good guys would go there to rest, to regroup, to plan the next attack to vanquish the bad guys. And that is about my only experience with forts or fortresses. I have never been in a real fort that's been under military attack. I can't imagine what that's like. I imagine most of you haven't been in that situation either. But from what I can tell, in real life, when a fortress is under literal military attack, the purpose of the fortress is not a place where people can go and hide in the basement or in the very bottom of the fort and just wait until everything's fine and dandy. Eventually, the enemy would storm the fort and take over. Instead, it seems to me that a fortress is a place where people take temporary refuge for a few minutes of safety and new perspective, where they catch their breath, where they plan strategy with other people, where they reload their weapons with bullets or bows and arrows or water balloons or whatever it is they're using, and then they find the courage to go back out and re-enter the struggle, to re-enter the fight. So when we say God is our refuge or God is our fortress, we're not saying that God is where we run and hide and that God will magically keep us safe from everything forever. What we are saying is that when we open ourselves to God as our refuge and our fortress, we get new strength, we get new courage, we get new resolve, we get a new sense of togetherness, of not being alone, and we get new hope to continue whatever struggles it is that we face. A mighty fortress is our God. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. So it seems to me the natural question then is, how and where can we experience God as a refuge or as a fortress? For a lot of us, we have that experience when we go to church. We gather together in our church building which has lots of bricks in it. It has the feeling of being a strong and secure place, a good place to regather and to regroup and to gain new strength. Last Sunday night in our small group online Zoom Bible study, we talked about this as the church is a place of fortress where we come together to connect with God. I was glad to hear others speak about the church this way because that's really what we try to do. It aligns with our purpose, with our calling, learning God's love, living God's love. We gather together to learn about who God is and that love that God has for us, and then we're sent forth, renewed, with new strength, to live that love, to make it real wherever we go. But obviously, the church is closed right now. The building is closed right now, and it will be for a while. So we need to be creative and persistent in discovering ways to experience God as our refuge and our fortress if it's not going to be the church building. Now, we can take refuge in God through Scripture and prayer. And if you've heard me preach before, you've probably heard me say this. I say it a lot because I believe it. I really believe that as we read the Bible, as we say our prayers, as we take a moment to just breathe in and be present with God, that God renews us and refreshes us and gives us new strength and new hope for whatever struggles that we find. I believe we really can connect with God through Scripture and prayer. It's just up to us to do it. There are a lot of other ways to experience God as refuge and fortress. For some folks, it's meditation and breathing, just slowing down and listening. For some folks, it's being outside or reading books or knitting or making music. For some people, it's serving others or working for justice or being generous. There are a lot of ways to experience God. I invite you right now to think about how you have experienced God. Maybe think about some new ways in which you could experience God. If you're worshiping with someone this morning, maybe you could talk with them and throw an idea around. Or if you're worshiping with us on Facebook, hello Facebook people out there, feel free to type in a message about how and where you experience God, where you experience God as refuge and fortress, and where you get renewed in God's love. Since we can't be together at church right now, we have to make sure to gather ourselves somehow and somewhere to get the strength and the focus and the groundedness that we need for daily living, especially in this challenging current situation. And there's one other way that I'd like to talk about experiencing God as refuge and strength, and it's grounded in the scripture passage that we use in the beginning of our affirmation of faith these last several Sundays. In life and in death, we belong to God. And I think we can take comfort in that promise that we belong to God no matter what, in life or in death. So it helps us face the inevitable reality that we are all going to die one day. And it gives us the courage and strength we need to acknowledge that and to talk about it with our loved ones, to talk about our final resting places, to talk about medical plans at end of life, to talk about financial situations. And I think it gives us courage as well to do whatever we can, whatever's within our power, to heal broken relationships before the time comes when we're no longer living on this earth. In life and in death, we belong to God. God is our refuge and our strength. So we've got to be intentional and purposeful about connecting with God in regular times, and much more so now in this extraordinary time in which we find ourselves. So we have to be careful as well. Because while there's many wonderful ways to connect with God, there are also plenty of ways in which we can get distracted or tempted and not get closer to God. There are a lot of things that might seem like a good refuge, but really aren't. Alcohol is one of them. We like to joke, oh, I need a drink in stressful situations. Well, some people can do okay with moderate amounts of alcohol, but too many people, quite frankly, drink too much, especially here in Wisconsin. We need to be careful. We need to be smart. Moderation in most things is okay. We just need to be smart about how we do that with everything. With everything from food to screen time to social media to even our work. All sorts of ways that we can get things out of balance in stressful times and seek refuge in the wrong places. The bottom line for us is we need to remember the promise of Psalm 46, the good news that it gives us, that God is our refuge and our strength, that God is a present help in trouble, and we need to seek refuge in God. God gives us strength and courage to continue in the midst of the troubles of life, so we find those places where we can encounter God and take refuge and refuel and prepare ourselves for whatever challenge might be next. Some people might be stockpiling food and guns and toilet paper. As people of faith, we're called to stockpile faith and hope and love. We're called to put on the full armor of God. You can read about in Ephesians chapter 6, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. And as Christians, we're called to continue to listen to and follow Jesus, the one who came to be with us, to teach us about God's ways, to heal us, to set us free, to open us to new possibilities of God's kingdom, the Prince of Peace, who leads us forward in love. Thanks be to God, our refuge and our strength. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we do give you thanks that you are refuge and our strength. We thank you that you came to be with us in the person of Jesus, that you've called us and taught us and led us forward. Renew us and refresh us, we pray, with faith and hope and love. Give us new strength and new courage to face whatever challenges and opportunities lie ahead of us this day, this week, this life. Help us remember that we're never alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.